Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 129 of the Competitive Erotic Fanfiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you've found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Some upcoming shows: July 8th, live at North Bar in Chicago. July 9th at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana. July 10th and 11th, I'll be opening for Ian Carmel, doing stand-up also at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington. July 12th, I'm headlining a show in Indianapolis. For details, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking. But today's episode was recorded at the 2014 Limestone Comedy Fest in Bloomington, and it features John O'Zalay, Jordan Dahl, Kristen Clifford, Aaron Foley, and Ryan Singer reading pieces they wrote based upon audience suggestions. First, you'll hear them draw topics, then we'll fast forward into the future to hear the finished pieces. Enjoy.
Please welcome your round two comics who'll be writing based upon your suggestions: Kristen Clifford, John O'Zalay, Ryan Singer, Aaron Foley, and Jordan Dahl, ladies and gentlemen. There they are. All right, let's start with Kristen Clifford. Big round of applause for Kristen. So, here's how this part works. I'm going to draw one. If she likes it, she can take it and run with it. If she doesn't like it, I will draw a second one, and then you guys will vote on which one she has to write. Kristen, your first option is Monkey Bone.
I'm going to take a second option.
All right. Reading Rainbow. So, we leave it to you people. With applause, who wants to hear Monkey Bone? The Brendan Fraser classic Monkey Bone? The too late to even be called a Roger Rabbit ripoff Monkey Bone? Best case scenario, a Cool World ripoff? The Brendan Fraser... Okay. One of you wrote it. Show yourself. One of you has to vote for it. All right. There it is. One vote for Monkey Bone. Thank you, sir. Reading Rainbow. You're sick people. You're sick, sick people. Kristen Clifford, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it going for Jordan Dahl. Jingle All the Way.
Perfect. That's
going
absolutely
with it.
Perfect.
Jordan Dahl. John O'Zalay, ladies and gentlemen. Your first option is Gandhi.
Done.
There it is. John O'Zalay. Ryan Singer. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Take it.
All right. Ryan Singer. And finally, Aaron Foley.
Thank God.
Your first option is The Avengers. It's a comic book.
Yeah, okay.
It involves superheroes.
No, there's people flying around. Choice B?
Let's see what we got. Holmes and Watson. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. I don't feel like anyone's on board with either of these. Fuck both of those.
Okay.
We're starting over.
No problem. Is there time to run out the front door? No? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see what we got.
No.
Lorne Green.
Lorne Green?
Lorne.
Lorne Green.
Lorne Green.
Who wrote that?
I'm guessing we're going with another one. Veronica Mars. We're sticking with these two. Who wants to hear Lorne Green? Veronica Mars. Didn't even need a Kickstarter for this one. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Foley, Veronica Mars. Big round of applause for all of your round two comics. Terry Schiavo was the one that I threw out immediately. Not at 4 in the afternoon, you guys. Come back for a late show. Now here's the part where we hope and pray that somebody is ready for round two and pops out that door any second. It's Ryan Singer, ladies and gentlemen. Clap your hands for my hero, Mr. Ryan Singer.
Soft and silky brown, with the slightest droplets of moisture beating up on the delicious surface, likely from the hot summer night, beckoning a lick from the nearest tongue. A young Neil deGrasse Tyson grabbed a clump of dirt by his side as he lay on his back staring at the stars, bracing for ecstasy. And with his free hand, he inserted the chocolate-covered cherry into his wet mouth. Tastes like stardust. Neil always had his head in the stars, thinking, dreaming, and even scheming how to get to space. He would spend many days alone without any friends, trying to wrap his young, pure, eager brain on how he might achieve this dream. While other boys would tell tales of their exploits with women in their dream world, Neil would often jerk himself away at the height of his wet space dreams. His favorite and ironically reoccurring dream that he would ignite his rocket was the one in which a star would go supernova. The implosion. The thought of the creation of a black hole would make young Neil's wet wormhole. Imagining the universe sliding its dark matter in, gaping, endless, always more. But something was missing. There was a loneliness to space, almost too much, almost too overwhelming, making him feel isolated. Until he saw him, like a sentient space angel, sent to Neil to show him he was not alone. Neil furiously scribed a note to this perfect combination of scientist and sexual desire. Carl Sagan. For weeks, young Neil would study and come. Study and come. Come and study. In preparation for the chance to meet Mr. Sagan, my cock will expand and contract, just like the universe itself, thought Neil. Then it happened, an invitation from the object of his desire. He wondered if Carl would come the same way when being observed as he would when he was not being observed. Silly thoughts for a silly boy. Neil arrived on the bus to see his hero. He was shaking and trembling in his pants and on his face as Carl's ice-cold hand grabbed him to lead him into his home. Science will never fail you, Neil. But man will. Remember that, and you'll be able to unlock the secrets of the cosmos. And my cocksmos, too. Now suck my hard cock and let me show you the real Big Bang. Neil sucked Carl's pulsing dwarf star until it exploded, creating a million more universes and stars. He was covered in matter, the future, the past, even covered in the construct of time itself. He lay on his back, gripping the Star Wars comforter, still covering Carl's bed. Then he took his finger to wipe the corner of his mouth. Tastes like stardust.
Thank you, guys.
Ryan Singer. Who else we got round two? Round two. Who's ready? John Ozzolet, ladies and gentlemen. John Ozzolet.
Hello, everyone. So, just a reminder, I was given the topic Gandhi. Started out as a typical Saturday night at Ivy Tech Junior College, which is known for its excellent arts program and sponsoring comedy festivals. But some of the students were less talented than others at traditional arts, so they had to major in a more pragmatic subject, sucking dicks. These students were Mary Foley, Christian Singer, Karen Clifford, Claire Dahl, also known as the mothers of stand-up comics Aaron Foley, Ryan Singer, Kristen Clifford, and Jordan Dahl. see a few of those people later. They were a little old to be going to college, but the good thing about junior colleges is that the ages of students is as variable as the dicks these moms were totally into. They were all working on their papers on Gandhi for the... for the one history class they needed to take before completing their seemingly interminable associate's degree in fellatio. Mary Foley, the only one with any skills other than bobbing on Mandong, was working on her computer when she spilled her Indian tea on the hard drive. Then... a lightning storm of computer circuits filled the room, and the whores were stunned as they had accidentally weird science Mohandas Gandhi into life like out of an 80s movie. Wow, it's Gandhi, screamed the Karens, as they were known because they double-teamed Indian dudes all the time. How lucky for us. We need to know everything about you, but we hate reading because we're practically illiterate. Thankfully, we are positive we can suck any information we need out of your dick. The newly reanimated preeminent leader of the Indian nationalist movement was confused at their ignorance. He was not interested in them sexually, but was only capable of resisting nonviolently. But before the Karens could get to him, Claire Dahl, a.k.a. Sex Doll, a.k.a. the filthiest sex doll known to man and woman, salivated, "He's mine!" And as she lifted up his famished brown body and used him as the sex doll that she had been thousands of times. He had been fasting from hunger strikes and wouldn't have been able to stop her if he tried. Their sex organs united over and over. He was experienced at uniting different Indian populations of Muslims, Hindus, and Sikhs, but she was seeking his boner and found it immediately. Aaron Foley's mom, Mary, ripped off his white robes and used them to soak up the flood of pussy juice that was coming out of her gaping vag. This much extra credit got her super hot. Unfortunately, she squirted so hard that he was hit in the chest 3 times at point-blank range, which historically his frail vegetarian body was unable to survive. Oh no, screamed the Karens, who were sharing a double-dong dildo. Now we'll never pass history and become professional dick lickers. Fear not, exclaimed Claire, sex doll doll. Before Mary capped him with her thick lady fluid, he had enlightened me with his emaciated Indian wiener, and now I know that he was the single most influential human that led to the Indian independence from the British Empire in 1947. The filthy drenched comedy moms took a moment to reflect on the profound life that Gandhi had led. And then they made themselves independent of their clothes and incisored each other for hours. Occasionally using his dead body to put in their buttholes. This all took place at other festival sponsor Marriott Courtyard Hotel. And then they ate some Mother Bear's pizza. The end.
John O'Zalay. Give it up for Kristen Clifford.
Hello. There are 2 things you should know about LeVar Burton. Number one, he's an award-winning educator who's passionate about developing children's love of literature. Number two, he likes to fuck. This story takes place at the height of the fame of Reading Rainbow, when LeVar Burton could just walk into any library and bend the librarian over the circulation desk and fuck her doggy style until she forgot how to read. Then he would teach her how to read again because he's like really into that. On this chilly December night, LeVar found himself in 1995 at the PBS studios, wrapping up the final episode of Reading Rainbow before the holiday break. He watched as a young girl gave a book review of Amelia Bedelia, a series that told the story of a weirdly not mentally challenged maid who took directions way too literally. The review was fine, but LeVar was impatient. He had a sweet piece on her way to the studio, and he was hoping to be balls deep inside her within the hour. Just then, Susie the librarian entered the studio. She was the head research librarian and a librarian in Brooklyn. LeVar could not have found that hotter. He had asked her for a date earlier that day by calling the research desk. "Yeah, please gather all the information you have available on my dick in your mouth." Susie had gasped, moaned, and immediately excused herself from the desk to go rub against the card catalog for hours. Her coworker Roger was all like, "What the heck?" And she was like, "Shut up, Roger, I wish you were dead." In between the death threats to Roger and repeatedly slamming a small drawer into her puss for 4 hours, Susie was more than ready to fuck, so she too was annoyed by the presence of a small child. LeVar and Susie's eyes locked. They were reading each other's thoughts. The young girl wrapped up and turned to LeVar, smiling and waiting for acknowledgement. "Yeah, yeah, thanks, Jessica, but you've got to leave. Some shit's about to go down that you could possibly not literally understand." "But I read at a high school level," young Jessica said as she was ushered out by the crew, who knew that look on LeVar's face. LeVar and Susie stalked over to the desk in the center of the room. LeVar's cock had almost blown out the crotch on his studious brown corduroys. Susie, who had a super hot bod and a very well-developed sense of ownership of her sexuality, licked her lips. Then she reached into her bag and withdrew 7 tubes of lipstick. She applied the first coat, a screaming red, and slowly unzipped LeVar's pants, popping the buttons with an aching slowness before revealing that Peabody Award-winning dick. She lowered to her knees and took him fully into her mouth and didn't gag at all. It was super hot. LeVar moaned and started yelling out his favorite literary quotes. "I think I can, I think I can. Oh, the places you'll go." "Happy families are all alike. Every unhappy family is different its own way." He was so distracted, he almost didn't realize what Susie was doing. She'd release him from her mouth, tantalizing him with her eager, educated fingers. While doing so, she kept reapplying a fresh coat of lipstick before taking him back with her eager mouth. Finally, LeVar couldn't take it. As she took him in for the final time, sucking on the tender tip, he exploded. "Oh, Dewey Decimal System," he shouted. Then looked down at his dick, still impressive and slightly too messy, despite just being empty. It was red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Susie swallowed and said, "It's a rainbow. A reading rainbow."
Kristen Clifford. And Jordan Dahl. Clap your hands for Jordan Dahl.
Hi, everybody. My topic was Jingle All the Way. And you did this. Jamie Langston woke up to the soft, frosty caress of what could only be sunlight on Christmas morning. He ran downstairs to find the Christmas tree overflowing with presents, which he called Santa eggs. He was a stupid, ugly child. He tore through the presents, desperately searching for the only one that mattered, the only thing that mattered, the near-impossible-to-find full-size Turbo Man action figure with 19 points of articulation and action plasma dick that seemed confusing but might pay off later. He tore it open and shrieked with glee, awakening his mother, who came stumbling down the stairs wearing a sad smile. "Thanks, Mom. Don't thank me," she muttered. "Thank your father." "Where is Dad?" said Jamie. "Prison," she replied. Flashback. The previous morning, Howard Langston, an overworked Minnesotan mattress salesman with a skeleton too big for his body and a genetic disorder that made him sound like he was from Austria, suddenly realized that he had forgotten to purchase the one thing his son had asked him to get, that Turbo Man thing. He loved the kid because he was stupid and ugly, and Howard knew it was probably all his fault. Frantically, he grabbed his weird camel-colored coat and rushed to the nearest toy store. "Turbo Man!" he screamed. And punched the bearded ginger... the bearded ginger clerk who probably had his own podcast in the face. "We don't have any," said the clerk. "He's lying," said a voice from his left. It was Sinbad. "Let's take him in the back." He grabbed the bearded gentleman by his beard and dragged him in the back. Sinbad donned a gimp mask that he had apparently been wearing. Sinbad donned a gimp mask as he had apparently been anticipating this. They tied the clerk to a chair and began interrogating him with their dicks. "Please, I just want to make podcast," he said. As they entered him from each end and basically jumped rope with him. Before either of them could climax, the cops burst in, silent alarm. They pulled out and left the clerk whistling like a conch on the beach. They ran out the emergency exit directly into a sweatshop full of midgets making Turbo Man dolls. What? Still hard, the two tore through the midgets like wet pinatas of Peter Dinklage. Then they saw it at the same time. A pristine, fresh-off-the-line Turbo Man. That was all Sinbad needed. He grabbed it and climaxed, blinded Howard with a powerful final spray of jizz, hopped into a nearby, fully functional and fully plausible mech suit of Turbo Man's arch-nemesis Dementor, and blasted into the sky. Howard cleaned the cum from his face and eyes and jumped into the equally plausible and super-powered Turbo Man suit and gave chase. As he was following him, he tried to fire the primary missiles, which jammed. He said, "Oh, ow." And then managed to grumble out, "Engage, plasma dick." It's paying off. The plasma dick erupted, and he hit Sinbad at Mach 5. Somewhere far below, Phil Hartman shielded his ears from the sonic boom. Howard fucked Sinbad like eagles falling from the sky. If one of the eagles had a spike of pure energy for a dick. He pulled the Turbo Man doll from the lump of viscera that was once Sinbad, flew home and placed his son's fluid-covered gift under the tree. Just as the police burst in. They'd followed the trail of cored-out midgets to Sinbad's corpse, and then pieced the rest together. One of them probably said, "Every damn year." Flash forward. Jamie looked at his mother and said, "Oh, that's what that smell is."
Jordan Dahl. I just want to repeat the phrase, "They'd followed the trail of cored-out midgets." It rolls off the tongue. All right, Aaron Foley, your final competitor.
"2:20 a.m. What if that was it? What if that was it? Oh, I have Veronica Mars. Okay. 2:20 a.m. 3:40 a.m. 4:15 a.m. 5:20 a.m. Oh, I should just get up, sighed Veronica. This was her sixth straight night of barely sleeping, tossing and turning and tossing and turning. 105 cases solved, yet this one was keeping her up at night. The case, a 42-year-old man, had been found dead, tied to a local train track, and then run over by a bicycle. Not a train, which was weird. He had been the town drunk before he got sober and now ran a shelter for abandoned rodents and wildflowers. He was well-liked. No leads, no suspects, nothing to go on. But if Veronica was really being honest with herself, it wasn't this case that was keeping her up at night. It was Janelle, the new French cop at Neptune Police Department. Veronica had spent the last week with her, going through evidence, working side by side, inching closer and closer to her new partner, cop work partner. Janelle had mesmerizing eyes. It was like looking into an entire glass menagerie. And the legs of a gazelle. She wanted them wrapped around her so tight that she lost consciousness, and then regained consciousness, then lost consciousness, then woke up in France on a riverboat doing coke off her love melons while solving crime port by port. Fuck! I'm in love with Logan. I mean, America just did a Kickstarter campaign so we could give us more screen time. Stop it! Stop it! Focus, you shit fucktard! Fuck, fuck, shit, fuck! Veronica had always been very hard on herself. Veronica pushed down her feelings for Janelle down. She pushed them down, down, way down. Her ankles were huge with desire. Janelle was waiting at the crime scene at 9:25 a.m. Oh, you look so tired, V, said Janelle. Why does she always call me V, and why are my jeans completely soaked? Fuck! I'm fine. I'm just up late at night thinking about the case. Janelle and Veronica went through the crime scene again. We must be missing something, said Veronica. I'm sure there are clues staring at us in the face. I've never been so confused, so flustered, so distracted, so overwhelmed. I'm just flustered. This case is really, it's... Take a deep breath, V. I'm breathing deeply. I have plenty of oxygen going in and out of my lungs. I'm fine. V, have you ever made love to a woman next to a dead body on train tracks in your hometown of Neptune? What? No, that's outrageous. Sorry, that might have been a little forward. The French, we have no boundaries. When it comes to lovemaking, we fuck anywhere, with anything, at any time, any place. We fuck other nationalities, in gardens, up against plywalls, and construction horses, or just regular horses. I got it. Yes, you're free. You're free, and you're open. That's great. I am straight, and I'm in love with Logan. Really, V, you're in love with a man who looks like he can cut down a tree with his teeth? I love his strong jawline, okay? So Janelle slowly, seductively, all French-like, moved toward Veronica and brushed her hair out of her face. You're so beautiful, V. The way you sip your coffee and walk and solve crimes even in the off-season. Please stop. Don't stop. Please stop. No, don't stop. We, yes. What? Don't stop. Janelle leaned in and kissed Veronica on her sweet, supple, private detective lips. Veronica kissed her back harder and harder, losing all control. She had never felt any more stirring, more longing, more unbridled enthusiasm in her golden pavilion. Take me, Janelle. Fuck me on these train tracks right now. Or maybe in that grassy area right next to the train tracks, as I have a bad back. Janelle made love to Veronica for what seemed like days. Sometimes it takes a while. Veronica's mind was blown. She saw stars, planets, the Holy Spirit, the Backstreet Boys, herself and her youth. Logan fucking another man, then her sister, which was weird. She saw her first cat, a roll of duct tape. She saw her future. I've never felt more like a woman than I do right now in this moment, Veronica explained. And as she placed her hands over her head in satisfaction, her boobs exposed for all of Neptune to enjoy, she felt a piece of paper. It was an envelope. She opened the note. If anyone finds this letter, I will be dead. It was Colonel Mustard with a lead pipe in the kitchen, and then he most likely dragged my body onto the train tracks, which then ran me over with a bicycle. Case solved. Both professionally and personally.
Aaron Foley. Aaron, you can stay right here. Let's get everybody from round two back out. All right. You guys know the drill. I'm going to remind you of what everybody read, and then we will vote on a winner. So we started with Ryan Singer, with Neil deGrasse Tyson, then John Ozalay, hold on, then John Ozalay with Gandhi, Kristen Clifford with Reading Rainbow, Jordan Dahl with Jingle All the Way, and Aaron Foley with Veronica Mars. So pick a favorite, starting with Ryan Singer, Neil deGrasse Tyson. John Ozalay, Gandhi. Kristen Clifford, Reading Rainbow. Jordan Dahl, Jingle All the Way. And Aaron Foley, Veronica Mars. All right, so I think we've got a tie between Ryan Singer and Kristen Clifford right now. So you guys got to pick a favorite between those two. Once again, starting with Ryan Singer, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Kristen Clifford, Reading Rainbow. Still real close. I think that's Ryan Singer by a hair. Oh, maybe not. Maybe I called that wrong. Either way, the show's over, so fuck it. Ladies and gentlemen, big round of applause for all of your round two comics. Very close round. Ryan is in room 241 over at the Courtyard Marriott, if you would like to take out your frustrations on him. Thank you so much for coming out. Thanks to the Limestone Comedy Festival. Big round of applause for everybody putting on this fine festival here in Bloomington. I will be back here.
That does it for round two. To hear round one from this show, go back and download episode 128. And if you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate on iTunes. It's a big help, as are positive comments. For more details on upcoming shows, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking or the show at CE Fanfic. See you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.